Thanks, Ben. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be here this morning. And we come to the latest in our series on our run-up to Easter. And I've entitled it... what did I entitle it? Who can tell me what I entitled it? A Time for Sacrifice. It is. A Time for Sacrifice. And I've named it that for three reasons. Okay? First reason is this. Whenever I think of Jerusalem, I think of a sacrifice that I had to make. Okay? As a child, as a teenager, I went to Jerusalem. I went to Jerusalem with my school on the SS Uganda, a ship. Has anyone been to Jerusalem? Quite a few people have been to Jerusalem. It is a place of pilgrimage. People go there. Who has been on the SS Uganda? Oh, I can tell by your face, you know exactly what it's like. Further from a cruise ship could you find no other boat than the SS Uganda. It was a former troop-carrying ship that had been converted to carry school children and their teachers. And it was grim. But we went to Jerusalem. But that wasn't the sacrifice. The sacrifice was this. My parents said I could go if I sold my train set. I had to sell my train set. Now, admittedly, I probably hadn't played with it for years. And I was being taught one of those hard lessons of life that nothing comes for free. Teenagers. Oh, it's you again, Dan. The two Dans this time. It's a sermon for the two Dans this week rather than the one Dan. Things don't come for free. Someone has to pay for them. Okay? And I learned that lesson. So going to Jerusalem was a time of sacrifice for me. It was my train set. Going to Jerusalem was a sacrifice for Jesus. Going to Jerusalem was a sacrifice for God. Have you ever thought of it like that? That God sacrificed for us. God laid down something precious for us. And the thing is, you know, in this week, we stand on the cusp of it here on Palm Sunday. We call it Holy Week, going towards Easter. And for so many Christians, we run from today with that triumphal entry. Hooray! We do our dancing. And I must admit, Kathy, I didn't join, you know, my children, the dad dance. It just doesn't cut it. So apologies for not joining your dancing today, but dad dancing is terrible. And we can rush from Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter Sunday when Jesus rose again. And we miss so much in between. So much happened as Jesus approached Jerusalem, as Jesus entered Jerusalem. There are so many conflicts and encounters that Jesus had on that final journey that cost him dearly. If we haven't been there on that Monday, Thursday, on that night when Jesus was arrested, when he sweated profusely and prayed intensely, and it was like beads of blood rather than just sweat coming from his brow. So intense was the feeling that Jesus had on that occasion. So incredible was the feat that he was being asked to perform by the Father. And willingly did so. And we're reminded of that as we break bread, a body broken. As we drink wine, reminding us of blood poured out. For us, the ultimate sacrifice. And then, having broken bread and hadn't spoke those words to his disciples, he went to his cross, where it was fulfilled. His body broken, his blood poured out. Going to Jerusalem was a sacrifice for God. But it was a sacrifice for us. For our benefit. And so the way to Jerusalem is paved with great expectations. You can imagine the anticipation of the disciples as they were going there, the crowds that had followed Jesus for a while, who were whipped up, being a crowd, as we've explored a little bit already. Jerusalem, after all, is the city of the great king. It was David's city, the joy of the whole earth. It's Jerusalem the golden, blessed with milk and honey. And IKEA too, so I understand. It's the place where the living God has chosen to put his name. Zion is my dwelling place, he said, my abode for all generations. It's the city where David built his house and he planned the temple. It's the city towards which Daniel, whilst in Babylon, kept his window open in prayer. Abraham passed by it on his first journey onto the promised land. It's the city of dreams, the holy city, the ultimate place of pilgrimage. It's a beautiful city high up in the Judean mountains. And it's a place of great pain. Jerusalem had been besieged. Jerusalem had been destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed again, rebuilt, besieged, and fought over again and again and again. And it's not at peace today. The joy of the whole world and the pain of the whole world, side by side, somehow intermingling. We're going up to Jerusalem, Jesus said. And the Son of Man will be handed over to suffering and death. It's the message they wanted to hear and the message they didn't want to hear, all wrapped up in one. Great expectations containing and perhaps concealing great affliction. There were two reasons for going to Jerusalem: to enthrone or to pay homage to a king, or to meet God. To offer sacrifice, to celebrate his love, his salvation, his covenant with his people. It was never quite that easy, of course. The king had opponents, and to be near him is to be in the danger zone. And the way to God remained dark and mysterious, assisted and sometimes blocked by the priests who were meant to help people to find God. Illuminated and sometimes obscured by the prophets. And in long periods of Jewish history, it was rumored that God had abandoned Zion. So what was left was a strong memory, but no longer a living reality. It's like the home of someone we've loved when they've gone. The strong memory is there, but they're no longer in that place. Enthroning the king and meeting with God, Jerusalem was the natural place to come and to worship. But to many Galileans of Jesus' day, it was the place of both hope and frustration. They would go not only singing psalms of ascent, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord and so on, but also cherishing the dream that one day they would go there in the company of the Messiah, who would sweep away wicked rulers, and God's anointed one would reign in justice and peace. That's what they hoped for. That's what they looked for. And it hadn't happened. Great and risky expectations. And now, at last, these 12 men believe this is the moment. These disciples of Jesus, those who've been closest to him all those years of his ministry, those 3 years, were traveling with him. Jesus had led them about Galilee doing extremely extraordinary things, teaching about God's kingdom. The crowds, it's a bit of a mixed bag. They're quite puzzled by him. The disciples are ready to crown him King of the Jews, King of the world. And so they look forward to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and Jesus' final acts and They will display for all the world that he's the king and that he's about to take his rightful place. That was their expectation. But they are not ready for the final enthronement that Jesus has in mind. When the Son of Man goes to Jerusalem, he must suffer many things at the hands of God's people, of the religious leaders, of the forces of occupation, and be killed, and on the third day, be raised. They're not ready to see their hopes crucified on that tree. They're not ready to see their expectations turned inside out and upside down in order that they may be fulfilled. They want the kingdom of God the way that they've always wanted the kingdom of God, the way that they've always expected that it would come, and it won't come that way. They will learn. Oh, they expected it to be tough. They were ready for that. Jesus' challenge about taking up their cross, stark as it must have been when crosses and what happened to people on them were a living reality day by day for them. It was the kind of challenge that people like Peter were eager to meet. He liked it when the going got tough. For him, that's when the tough got going, and that was him. Tough it may be, but the glory at the end of it will be great when eventually we come through, won't it? But they don't, perhaps, penetrate to the innermost meaning of the challenge. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. For anyone who wants to save his life must lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What will it profit someone to gain the whole world but forfeit their life, their soul, their heart? Yes, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming sooner than you think. Your expectations will be fulfilled, but the only way for that to happen is for them first to be dashed to pieces, broken into fragments on the dusty floor, so that God can make a new jigsaw out of them, one that conforms to his sort of kingdom. Part of the paradox of the gospel story is that Jesus' closest followers, those who understood him best, had their own way of deeply misunderstanding him and his ways. We all have our reasons for wanting Jesus enthroned, our own private ways of distorting his kingship to suit our own aspirations. The way to Jerusalem must always also be the way of thwarted expectations, and that's not comfortable. There's a truth here that I feel is deeply relevant to us. We all have our expectations of where we and this church should go, what it should be. And we all have our expectations of how that should happen. So I started to prepare this message. I believe this came from the heart of God for us, strongly but tenderly for us today. It may be that we share something of a vision together, and I believe we do. But the road we expect to travel to get there is likely to be influenced substantially by the way we've traveled this kind of road before. I know it does for me. Our expectations may be that it will be a triumphal entry, that things will always be rosy and always be great and exciting and bigger and better. Or at least it'll be a comfortable journey where things don't change so much that I don't recognise what's going on. But the reality might be far from being comfortable. And that may mean that we actually do have to lay down our lives, lay down our expectations as we pick up the cross of sacrificial servanthood, going God's way rather than our own. For instance, we may look forward to a new building. But what if God says, sell what you have and don't have a church building at all? It sounds like anathema, at least it does to me. But would we hear God if that's what he was saying to us? Or would we be telling God what we want and expect him to endorse that? Or is there some other issue that you cherish? And the question is, what are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to lay down in order to pick up our cross and follow Jesus? So let's open our hearts and our minds to God, to let him have his way amongst us. The Baptist Union presidential motto a few years ago was to comfort and disturb. I like that, don't you? Well, I don't know if like's quite the right word, but I understand it. That God's words so often are words of comfort, but they're also words that disturb, because it shakes up the status quo and it asks us to do things that perhaps aren't comfortable for us to do. And that paradox or that dichotomy reflects the gospel, doesn't it? It has a twofold purpose. But as every pilgrim knows, when you go to Jerusalem, the primary reason remains that you go to meet with God. And that's our primary reason for being here. We come to meet with God. In seeking the presence of the living God today, let's be especially careful not to hide like the naked Adam did behind our own trees, as it were. Keeping our distance from the presence, the person of God. Trying to avoid the question that God wishes to ask us, where are you? Who are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? Like Jerusalem, I hope that it would be easier to sense the presence of God here. I hope that as we gather together as the church, the people of God here, God will be. I know he will, because he's promised to be here. I hope you will sense that. I hope you will hear his voice as we listen together. I hope that we will serve side by side, even when it's a sacrifice. When it isn't our turn to do something, but someone hasn't turned up, that it's okay. We'll do that. It's a sacrifice for God, serving the people of God. Let's see the image of God for who he is. Let's not remake him in our own image to serve our own ends, to bolster our own aspirations. The test for us all in our journey of faith is this: are we prepared for God to remake us in his image? To change, to transform who we are, to be more aligned to who he is. Do you know, God sometimes has to lovingly break the brittle me. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we can be that, can't we? We can be a bit brittle, we can be a bit prickly, we can be a bit sensitive. And sometimes God has to break that down and make it into that malleable clay again, and then remake us into the person that he's always wanted us to be. And that's not an easy journey. It's a journey that has pain and suffering along the way. And you know, God's in that business of remaking, so that we can be truly free, and so that we can truly celebrate his presence in our lives. question is, will we let him? Jerusalem is a symbol of God's great expectations. They might no longer correspond with our expectations. We have to keep in step with the Spirit, with what God's doing in his church today. The only way to travel this road is to go like Abraham, not knowing sometimes where we're going, but we're on a journey. We're on our way. The road to Jerusalem stands for the deeply inviting yet deeply threatening journey into the presence of the one true God. Let's come to God afresh. Come to this new Jerusalem where we're already citizens, and let him wipe away every tear from every eye. Do you know what? Those tears might need to flow first so that God can do that. Come to where the cock crows, not to announce the disloyalty of the night, but to greet the new day for the children of the light. Let us take the opportunity to present our prayers and our pains to him so that we can hear from him through open ears. May our ears be open, our hearts set, our minds engaged in what God wants from us as we travel this Holy Week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder that you are a God who wants to do a deep work in our lives. That you are not content with superficial faith, but want to take us deeper into you, to release our lives into being all that you plan for us to be. Lord, help us to take that journey along the road less travelled. The road that may involve pain, suffering, hardship, challenge, but arriving at a destination, which means fulfillment, meeting our destiny in God. Lord, help us along that path this week. We pray. In Jesus' name.